The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 7th, 2020.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Kenneth Edward Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine Beverly Holt.
What a great day here in Sonoma County, although a little bit nervous as I'm watching the winds come forward. You know, we've had a fire warning, so just keep your fingers crossed that that doesn't happen. I mean, so much has been going on lately, my goodness, with Thanksgiving, wearing masks. Now they're debating whether they're going to shut down everything again, and so many stresses in this world. So it's just amazing to be here in the studio and to be able to broadcast every Monday. And I want to say to all my listeners, please just stay safe, wear your mask, 6 feet social distancing, and wash your hands when you come home. And Ken and I have been doing this every single day, everywhere we go, since March 7th. I mean, even my 80th birthday, which was on March 18th, there we were worried about what this pandemic, how it was going to hit us, and what were some of the consequences. And here we are at 280,000 deaths. I mean, it's just amazing in our country. And so many people testing positive every day. I mean, we really need to be aware and take care of ourselves as well as take care of each other. Well, I have a wonderful show this morning. Joining me on the phone is Vesta Copesakes, a graphic artist and founder and former publisher of the Sonoma County Gazette. The Gazette is one of Sonoma County's respected local newspaper. It's a monthly publication that reports local events and opinions, all written by local artists. You know, I even wrote for the Gazette. I wrote the column Santa Rosa Snippets, and I recently stepped down, giving the column to local activist Leslie Graves. With a new publicist, I thought it would be interesting, fun, and a way of honoring Vesta for 20 years of excellent journalism and community involvement. Wow. Each city in Sonoma County has a personal writer. I mean, that's the extent of that wonderful, wonderful paper. You know, it's really interesting. I found something on Facebook. So many interesting things come across Facebook, you know, so many different ideas. And it was the definition of what a democratic socialist is. Now, a democratic socialist is not a Marxist socialist or a communist. Now, just get this through your head. A democratic socialist is not Marxist socialist or a communist. A democratic socialist is still a capitalist, just one who seeks to restrain the self-destructive excesses of capitalism and channel government's use of our tax money into creating opportunities for everyone. Democratic socialists believe that both the economy and society should be run democratically. Economy and society should be run democratically to meet human needs, not simply to make profits for a greedy few. Not simply to make profits for a greedy few. You know, we heard that when they had Occupy, when all of a sudden the idea of 1% of the population holding almost 90% of the wealth. So what happens, we can't take care of human needs. I mean, look what's happening with the stimulus package. People at the end of this week are going to be off of unemployment. You know, they have no ways, you know, jobs are dropping with the virus. Now they're going to be closing down more and more shops because we're having this horrific surge. When you have a democratic socialist attitude, you take care of human needs first. It wouldn't be an issue around the stimulus. It would be there. It would be distributed. People would be taken care of. You know, and that's very important. I mean, right now particularly, I mean, we have a country, we are a consumer society. That means our economy evolves around our consumption. And in order for us to consume, we have to have dollars in our pockets. And they're debating whether to send dollars out or not. But if you have a more fair or a more egalitarian type of government that really supports democracy and makes sure the needs of the people are met, when we go through some of the things that we're going through now, it's not as difficult. And my heart goes out to all the families that are suffering with this horrific disease and to all those who experienced loved ones passing away. I mean, I cannot imagine what it must feel like to have someone you love in the hospital with this horrible disease, not knowing what's going on, and all you can do is communicate by your phone. And the only ones taking care of them are nurses and doctors who are already overstressed. You know, I remember when I was in the hospital. I mean, if it wasn't for my family, if it wasn't for Ken being there every day with me, if it wasn't for my daughter Susan coming in and saying, Mom, you got to think positive. If it wasn't for my sister Evelyn finding out where all the linens and everything was. If it wasn't for all the wonderful, wonderful physical therapists, I wouldn't even be behind this mic. So I know what it's like to be in the hospital. I know what it's like to need support. You know, it's really a sad situation. And the best we can do, the very best we can do, is wear masks when we go out. Right now, they're suggesting that you even wear masks in your home when people come in. Because you don't know who, you know, here, look what just happened with Rudy Giuliani, who's running around all over the United States talking about the fake election or whatever the heck he's talking about. I wonder how many people he infected because he wasn't wearing a mask. I mean, how many times did he sneeze? How many times did he touch his face and then touch a counter and somebody else comes along? I mean, all kinds of things were going on coming out of his body. And he was not protecting other people. You know, during Thanksgiving, I saw that a lot. Not people going to family gatherings when not checking out. How many people have you seen? You're not taking your temperature or tested or anything. People come into your house, you don't know where they've been. So I really encourage my listeners, have an attitude of precaution. Precaution. That you wear a mask. Because when you wear a mask, you're not only taking care of yourself, but you're taking care of everybody else around you. And I'll tell you something, there's nothing more heartbreaking than to do a Zoom and see a family member and ask them, because they had the virus, ask them, how are you feeling? And they say, oh, so-so. And they're wearing a tube in their nose. They're wearing an oxygen. They have to have oxygen because they can't breathe. And then a young girl who should be running around having fun and dressing and putting makeup on and doing all the things I remember my daughter did when she was 14 or 15 years old. And here she is, because of this virus, complaining that she's so tired she can barely keep her head up. I mean, this is no joke, folks. We need to pay attention. Close attention. And we also need to call our senators and call our congresspeople and say, pass that stimulus package. We the people need support on the ground. You are supposed to distribute our tax monies fair and expediently. It was just a suggestion, folks. It's just a suggestion. Well, you know, like I do every Monday, I talk about our history as our strength. Well, why do I do that? You know, I do a lot of research on it. I want to really thank the National History Alliance here in Sonoma County. If you go on their website, nwhp.org, you can find all kinds of history about women. I go on every Sunday night. I go on. I say, what's the history lesson for Monday? So let's talk a little bit about that. You know, it's amazing. I cannot believe this is the first show in December already. Before we turn around, it's going to be 2021. Before you know it, we're going to have an inauguration. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. Before I know it, I'm going to be 81. Oh, my goodness. Time goes by so darn fast. I wonder if any of you are are thinking that. The time just has a way of slipping right out from under us. It's just, it's an amazing phenomenon. Well, on December 1st, 1955, let's see, 55, 65, 75, 85, 95, 205, that's about 60 years ago. Rosa Parks refuses to give up her seat on a bus to a white person. Her arrest sparks the modern civil rights movement in the United States. You know, when I read that, I couldn't help but have memories of President Johnson and what he accomplished during his reign when we had the civil rights movement. But this woman on December 1st, 1955, Rosa Parks, refusing to be discriminated against, refusing to go to the back of the bus, refusing to be treated like anything less than human, stood up, and a whole movement was born. So thank you so much, Rosa Parks. And then on December 5th, this is another interesting thing, in 1935, Mary McLeod Buthane creates the National Council of Negro Women, and I believe it is still in existence. But can you imagine, I mean, the courage of this woman in 1935, Mary McLeod Buthane, creating the National Council of Negro Women. I'm going to have to do a little bit of research. If any of my listeners out there know anything about this group, please, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. Well, another thing happened in 1941, which was, I found fascinating, just fascinating. And I have mixed feelings about women being on the battlefield. I mean, we bring forward life. We should not be involved in anything that creates death and misery. But it is what it is. And in 1941, Captain Annie Fox receives the first Purple Heart awarded to a woman for her service while under the attack at Pearl Harbor. You know, I was born in 1940, and it was at the height of when we were talking about wars, and it was before Pearl Harbor. But when you think about, here's a woman, the first woman that received a Purple Heart. Boy, she must have did some extraordinary thing. And then the last thing, which I think is really, I mean, one of my favorite programs is All Things Considered. Well, on December 9th, 2002, award-winning ABC news journalist Michelle Norris becomes the first American female regular to co-host the national public radio news magazine, All Things Considered. And she stepped down in 2012. My goodness, that was in December 9th, 2002. She became the first, and that was the first time an American female hosted something on PBS. Well, congratulations. I mean, and it's just amazing what women have accomplished. You know, I often wonder if that's not part of the problem. There's a lot of maybe resentment that women have so much power. Well, on December 6th, it's very interesting. It was my sister Evelyn's birthday. We celebrated it with a Zoom last night. It's interesting. I mean, all these different Zooms that we're doing. And I thought it'd be interesting to see what happened on December 6th. Well, here's something that happened. I'm going to say happy birthday to Jane Swiss Helm. She was born December 6th, 1815. And she made her transition in 1884. Her name was Jane Swiss Helm. She was a suffragist who wrote articles for local papers against slavery, for women's rights, and against legal inequities. And it led to a close friendship with Mary Todd Lincoln. Well, happy birthday, Jane. December 6th, Jane Swiss Helm. And my last birthday here is December 6, 1927. And, you know, I try to bring women in of all colors, all nationalities, all backgrounds. Because as women, that's who we are. You know, we're white, we're black, we're yellow, we're Jewish, we're Catholic, we're women. And, you know, I say to my friends that we are, as women, we are all sisters under the skin. And what do I mean by that? Sisters under the skin. Sure, we might look different on the outside. Not only color of our skin, some of us have big hips, some of us, like me, small hips, some are chubby, some are tall, some are short. But underneath it all, we all have the heart, we all have lungs, and as women, we all have the capacity to create life, to bring children in the world. And it's important to recognize that. That's where our power lies. That's what's so interesting, that we are treated like second-class citizens, and yet we're the ones who not only bring forth life, it's not only created in our bodies, but once it gets here, we nurture it. We nurture it. We sustain it. We educate it. It's a lifelong commitment. Trust me, I am seeing that myself. You know, no matter how old your children get, you're still the mother. You still have those issues. So here's another birthday after that long idea. On December 6, 1927, and she made her transition in 2002, Patsy Mink. She was the first Japanese-American congresswoman. She was a Democrat from Hawaii. She wrote the Women's Educational Equity Act, played a key role in the enactment of Title VI. I remember Title VI. How do I remember? I was going to Sonoma State, and a letter came through that a young woman wanted to play. I believe it was either soccer or football. I can't remember which one it was. But there was an outcry from women. I mean, we wrote letters from all over the United States, all the women's studies departments, you name it, and to change Title VI, which was renamed as the Patsy Tokunoto Mink Equal Opportunity Education Act. I had no idea. Let's see if I can pronounce that name. Patsy Tokunoto Mink Equal Opportunity in Education Act. So here we have black women that are making changes, white women that are making changes, Japanese women that are making changes. All of us working together to not only make the world a better place for all of us, but definitely make it a better place for women. So we have a lot to be proud of. And there's that old saying, we have come a long way. But I want to add this phase to it. We still have a long way to go. And I'm not kidding about that. When I see what's going on with the debate about these masks, which are there to save our lives, I just go, oh my God, where are we? What is our attitude in this country? What are people feeding us that we are becoming so divided over an issue that is so simple? Just to protect ourselves and to protect others. And particularly your mothers out there. You know, it hits everybody. You know, it may not be a big population in a certain age group, but it hits everybody. And you don't want it to hit your child. So start thinking about, what are you doing? You know, if you don't wear a mask, ask yourself, what is motivating me for not want to protect other people and myself? It's political. Hey, instead of putting your energy into not wearing a mask, put your energy into putting those children back together with their parents that were taken away from at the border. If you really want to get aggravated or something, come on, start calling your congressmen, your senators about getting this stimulus package out so people can start surviving in a way that we can live with. You know, a mask is a simple thing. And let me tell you something, I don't like it. I really don't. You know, I wear it. It fogs up my glasses, all that other stuff. But so what? I wear it because I'm taking care of myself and I'm taking care of my fellow citizens. So there's a lot to think about, folks. And I hope we're out there thinking. I mean, it's kind of scary. I understand that. But give it a purpose. You know, say my purpose in life is to love and to take care of other people. So I'm going to wear this mask today. Not only am I going to wear this mask, I'm going to make sure I'm 6 feet apart from everybody. Not only am I going to do that, I'm also going to include washing my hands when I get home. My goodness, that is so simple. You know, I saw a poster, again, on Facebook with this guy standing there who, during this Spanish flu in the early 1900s, standing there, he says on his poster, wear a mask or go to jail. That's how serious it got. But we don't want it to get to that point. We want people to cooperate. So start thinking about that a little bit. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and I found this song. It's called She Rises Like a Dolphin, sung by one of my favorite singers, Kate Wolf. It's really interesting about Kate Wolf. When I first moved up to Sonoma County, there was a pizza place in Sebastopol. I don't remember the name of it, and we all used to go there. She was married to her husband, Don Toppin, and he played the mandolin, and I would just faint every time he played that mandolin. It was something I never experienced before. Here we all were with the kids running around and playing this wonderful, wonderful music. And then I remember when they cut their first vinyl record. I actually at one point had a copy signed by Kate Wolf and Don Toppin, and God only knows what happened to it. But it was very, very exciting. And when I found this song, She Rises Like a Dolphin, I thought of Vesta Kopsakes. You know, all the ups and downs in her life, all the things that she has done, and the fact that she created this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Gazette. And it's really interesting. I saw in the Gazette, I saw this wonderful headline about her. It says, from Forestville to Sonoma County. In other words, at one time it was just a Forestville paper, and then it became the Sonoma County Gazette. The Gazette grew wings under under Vesta Kopsakes. And I'm going to find out about her name, because Vesta, that's what she was born. That's the name she was given at birth, and I'm just real curious about it. I know it has to do something with Roman law or Roman population, but we'll see when she comes back. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to play Rise Like a Dolphin, and when we return, I will be talking with Vesta Kopsakes, who's a graphic artist and founder and former publisher of the Sonoma County Gazette. We'll be talking about the history of the paper, her challenges and successes, along with what she will be doing in retirement. Although, with Vesta's energy, I cannot imagine her retiring. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's go ahead and play Rise Like a Dolphin, sung by Kate Wolf.
Dolphin with a sea wind in her eyes, sunlight casting shadows like a painter's palette knife. Her hair fans out around her, floating like a crown. She plays on the water, lets it pull her down. Sometimes she swims in moonlight with the stars high above. Night sounds of the water speaking soft of love. Her skin turns to velvet as she feels the waters glide. She loses all her boundaries on this magic carpet ride. Ripples on the water, watch the shadows dance. Then she's diving down, and you're looking through a glass. Like a one-way mirror, her reflection's far below. Where she was, she isn't now. That's all you really know. Two swimmers in the water, silver, one of gold. One below the surface, one reaching for a hole. One floating freely, one trying not to drown. A dreamer with two faces, a dolphin and a clown. hold her in a shallow pool, or catch her in a waterfall, you're thinking like a fool. She'll strike for the horizon like a ship out to sea, leaving just illusions that look like memories. She wears the water like a mask, a brand new suit of clothes, a player on the stage, an actress no one knows. See her roll and tumble, falling like a clown, a swimmer in the water that runs from higher ground.
Oh, I'll tell you, when I listen to Kate Wolf, I still, all of a sudden, the tears well up to think that that beautiful woman is not with us anymore, and think of all the wonderful times. I remember, like I said, that the previous, before we went to the music break, was able to go to this wonderful pizza parlor in Sebastopol and listen to her and her wonderful husband, Don Tarpin. Just amazing. You know, life is such a gift. I'm glad we're here today. Excuse me, I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Vesta Kopczak. Vesta, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Elaine, it's always a pleasure to converse with you.
Well, you know something? Before we begin, I want to tell my folks a little bit about you, and then I'm going to read a comment. The Sonoma County Gazette is out. This was, I believe, the second edition that the new publisher made, and they have a wonderful, wonderful article. I think it's 2.5 pages, all about Vesta, about her life and what people think about her. And let me just tell you a little bit about Vesta. 50 years ago, Vesta Kopczak moved from Manhattan to Monte Rio. My God, what a change that was. To start her California dream. Since then, she has illustrated a book, built electronic musical instruments, established and ran a full-service advertising agency, was marketing director for a national nonprofit organization, raised her daughter by earning money as a freelance graphic designer, cleaning houses, and gardening for clients. And for the past 19 years, published a well-read and loved community news magazine. Oh, it's a news magazine, the Sonoma County Gazette. At 71, she is recently retired and very excited to find out what she's going to do next. Well, congratulations. I believe that the Sonoma County Gazette has been brought up by the Sonoma media, and they're doing everything they can to keep the paper up, and it's in its original form. And I think so far they're doing a pretty good job. But if it's okay with you, Vesta, I want to read something that Eva Granham wrote about you in the paper. I think it really describes what you are all about. And I think when someone devotes 19 years to publish such a wonderful, wonderful newspaper, I think you deserve all the time and acclimates that we can give you. So here you go, Eva Graham. Most people know Vesta as a woman responsible for getting out an amazing paper full of great local stories. As a columnist, I've seen how much she cares for each and every community member and how gracious she is to all of us. Her ability to truly go the extra mile with love was beyond impressive. She made me feel seen time after time, and I know I'm not alone in that. I applaud her work all these years and look forward to a continued friendship. Celebrate the new season. That was written by Eva Granham. And I have to be honest with you. The reason I read it, because I have to say ditto. That's exactly how I felt about you. Excuse me, I'm going to cough, Ken. That's exactly how I felt about you and writing for the Gazette. Well, do you want to add anything else, Vesta?
Well, for one thing, I have no clue what I'm going to do next, and that's the most exciting thing in the universe. I was extremely pleased that Sonoma Media Investments purchased the Gazette. When they did, it was before COVID, and we were riding high. And it was a very successful publication, and I didn't want it to die. It's been a communicator within Sonoma County for such a long time, and it has to do with how people contribute and how they contribute their heart, their soul, their education. The whole concept of experts in their field wrote articles for the Gazette about topics that they knew really well, so they could explain them and educate our readers. I wanted our readers to have to make educated opinions, not opinions based upon opinions. So we had a lot of experts in their field, environmental issues, social issues, etc., who contributed to the Gazette. And then all of the people who are community columnists are people who love their hometowns. And the whole point of the hometown columns is to connect people across the county. So as the Gazette grew, it grew to include the entire county. And people rose to the position of being a columnist by being so passionate in their community. They wanted to connect their town to the rest of the community. And part of that, aside from just all of that, get to know your neighbors, is there are issues that come up in each community that someone can solve in one community, and some other community can say, oh my God, look what they did over there.
And that worked. Vesta, before we get into that, I thought it'd be real important to talk about your beginnings with the Gazette. You know, how it came about and how you were the one to make it happen. You know, what were your early challenges and fears? I mean, you know, as you describe what you've done, I mean, it was such a great effort of coordination. I mean, every month, because of course I wrote for the Gazette for almost 4 years, and every month that it would come out, I would look at that paper and I would say, how did she do it? So talk a little bit about your beginnings and what were some of your challenges and some of your fears?
Well, I think the biggest challenge was right at the beginning of the Gazette. It was a newsletter to the Forestville Chamber of Commerce, and it was run by three different people. One was Cam Perry, who was the editor, and Chris Snow was the graphic designer, and Judy Riley, Mike Riley's wife, was the advertising salesperson, and it was financed by the Forestville Chamber of Commerce. And all of them decided to move on. Chris and Cam moved to Oregon, and Judy was a supervisor's wife, and she says, I just can't do this anymore. I've got things to do. And so they were like, hey, Vesta, you volunteer in the community so much. Why don't you take it over? You know, I was doing the local elementary school newsletter, so I was already into that. I'm a graphic designer. It's like, yeah, sure, what the heck, black and white, 12 pages. I can do this in my sleep. But the very first issue I published was September 2001, and immediately people wrote letters to the editor responding to the 9/11 events. And that became like, oh, my gosh, I need to be the vehicle for these people to get their word, what their thoughts and feelings are out. And that's when the paper became written by readers, because I thought, wow, what an amazing vehicle this is to have a publication that is literally the voice of the people out in the community. So it's not like this is my paper, my way. It's the community's paper, and I'm the messenger, and I have the skill set that can provide this vehicle for communication.
That
was the very beginning of it.
That is amazing that you came to that.
It was cool. It was really cool. But then right away, people going, oh, I've got an opinion. I've got this. I've got that. So they started flooding me with stuff. And I was going, whoa, I don't have enough room in 12 pages. So I made it to 18 pages. And the Chamber of Commerce was kind of going, so, Vesta, what are you doing? You know, because it was kind of a feel-good little chatty thing, you know. And it was like, well, gosh, I mean, this is an incredible vehicle for communication. And, you know, what is marketing and advertising, which I've been in for years, it's a method of communication. And one of the things that in marketing, there's a term called relationship marketing, which and ultimately was everything we did, but then it got a title, relationship marketing. You're building relationships with people. You're building relationships between a company and a product and the consumers of the product. Well, the same thing with a publication, a newspaper, a magazine.
Well,
you're building a relationship with the community.
During those early years, you know, what was your mission and what steps did you take to it? You know, I know you had a mission statement, and what steps? I mean, you went from 12 pages all of a sudden to 18 pages. You know, what was
then 24 and then 32.
Right.
Well, I could say it's basically to the written by readers concept, and then that was one of my my tagline, written by readers, because I wanted people to know that they had a voice. But there was this kind of a negative feedback on citizen journalism. Ah, it's all opinions. And I'm going, there's no rants in this paper. I didn't want anything negative, ranting, any of that kind of stuff. And it was before social media. I think before social media. This is like 19 years ago. It's another lifetime ago. So the point for me was, okay, written by readers, but they can't just be rants. They can't just be opinions. They have to be smart, intelligent, and communicate. So then I changed the tagline to Connecting Sonoma County Communities as I expanded the Gazette. One of the other publications in our area, the Russian River Monthly, went out of business, and then I could expand into their territory because I was very careful not to expand into their territory for a long time. And then it was like, well, they're no longer there. I'm going to expand into their territory. And then when some other communities that I was, I was mailing the publication, which is very expensive, and then I said, okay, maybe I need to be on the streets. So I started putting stacks in various places, and I always get permission. And then I was like, okay, how about newsstands? So I started buying newsstands, and I expanded out onto the streets and eventually stopped mailing because it was $4,000 to $5,000 a month just to mail to seven West County communities. So that was a lot of money. It took a lot of money. And when I was expanding out into these other territories, some people said, well, I would advertise if it was color and not black and white. I was like, okay. So I started going to color. And then I would I would advertise if I knew your reach was farther. And I was like, okay. So I expanded into Santa Rosa, up to Healdsburg, Cloverdale, when my daughter lived in Cloverdale and she was working for me, down to Petaluma. And then as I got people who worked for me delivering it, I expanded all the way east. There's a fellow named Keith Majeski who came to me and he said, so I deliver publications in Sonoma. Do you want me to deliver the Gazette? And I was like, oh my God, I could go to Sonoma. How cool is that?
Well, let me ask you another question here then. I mean, it sounds like, you know, first of all, a lot of caring. You cared about the community. You cared about having writers. You cared about expanding, all these different things. Do you think that's, you know, pretty typical, you know, especially the caring aspect? Do you think that's more of a feminist attitude that you embarked upon?
I'm one of those people who loves the balance of male-female, yin-yang, and I love the balance of the masculine and feminine together in concert with each other. Granted, it's not always easy.
How did you coordinate all this? I mean, what was your secret? I mean, it sounds like you were bouncing a lot around, you know, expanding, and you did not have the biggest staff. So what?
No, actually, for the longest time, it was just me. I even delivered the paper. I did everything. I established every distribution route, every location, every place was a. I walk into a business and I say, oh, I see you have other publications here. Let me give you a copy of the Gazette. I would walk into stores and say, oh, have you read my paper? Some people
go
nice,
Vesta.
Some
people go Vesta. Yay.
I mean, and the thing is that you're right. It's all based on love. And people have said to me, you're in love with love. And I go, yeah, I am in love with love. There is no feeling that I enjoy more than the feeling of love.
Well, let's end on that thought, because we're going to take and let's end on the thought of love. I love love. And also, what I thought is, for our musical break, I'm really so excited for you, the fact that you've retired, the fact I know you're going to start writing book, you know, something. I mean, I can't imagine you not doing anything.
I've got so many things on my mind.
And I picked this one song. It's called It's a Good Day. You know, it's just a good day, no matter what. It's a good day, and it's sung by Anna Marie Kaufman. So no matter what is going on, as we can tell, and also your enthusiasm and your love for community really makes it a good day. I mean, it was always a good day, particularly when you write for the Gazette, and here it is at that time of the month when the new publication is out. So we're going to take a musical break, and when I come back, I will continue my conversation with Vesta Kopsak, who was the former publisher of the Sonoma County Gazette. We're talking about her adventures with the Gazette, how she started it, some of her challenges, some of her fears. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to her a little bit more how she handled it, because one of the things that I noticed about the Gazette, it is so diverse with opinions, one opinion here, one opinion there. And like you said, there was no ranting. And I want to find out how she was able to balance all those personalities out. So let's go ahead with It's a Good Day, Ken. Said to the sun, good morning, sun. You know, there's two things in here that's very funny. We're looking at the album cover. There's a little motorcycle with a woman on it. It's a Vesta motorcycle. I just thought I'd just put that in there. And the second part, it says it's a good day for shining your shoes. I want you to know that Ken shined my shoes last week and they look just like brand new. I could not believe it. So it's amazing. Well, welcome back. You know, you're listening to Women's Spaces and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and on the phone with me is Vesta Kopczak, who is the former publisher of the Sonoma County Gazette, and we're talking about her journey of producing a successful local free monthly newspaper. Well, Vesta, do you have you have your opinion, and so do all your readers. How do you handle that aspect of the publication, satisfying all those ideas? Where have you drawn the line, and was it difficult for you? I mean, you have to say no to some things as well as saying yes to other things.
Well, ultimately, the only thing I said no to was negative rants. If people want to be angry and destructive, I'm sorry, that's not what the Gazette is about. The Gazette is about positive contributions to our planet, our lives, our community, especially our community. Focusing on Sonoma County allowed it to have a boundary without having to get into national politics. I rarely put things in the print edition because print is so expensive. You want to keep things pretty tight. So I kept it mostly Sonoma County with an occasional letter or opinion that went off into national politics, partly because it applied to our local politics. So staying within the boundaries of Sonoma County and staying within constructive criticism, if it needs to be criticism, but not destructive. I always feel that there's enough destruction in this planet. There's enough negativity in this planet. I wanted to be a positive influence. I still do this thing. It's like if you're going to come up with a complaint about something, then I want you to give me a solution as well. So what is your solution to this problem? Don't just complain, because it's just going to, it doesn't do any positive contribution to the community. So that's part of it. And the other one was for opinions. I wanted the Gazette to be broad spectrum. I'm definitely left leaning. There's no question. The Gazette is also left leaning. And the Eagle Society of Sonoma County or the Republican Women of Sonoma County. I had many loyal readers in that group. And part of it was because I valued their opinion as well. I didn't need people to agree with me, and I didn't need people to agree with readers either. If they wanted to say something that opposed my own value system, it's their right to do so. That's, again, the concept of being the communication vehicle. It's a messenger service for people in this community, and if they have something positive and contributing to say, they have the place to do it.
Well,
so
you know, it's,
that's how I handle opinions.
Well, you know,
they're
it's,
all welcome, every one of them.
It's interesting what you say, you know, and I think it's just a beautiful concept. I mean, the whole idea of accepting opinions of other people, but not to just rant, but to actually come up with some solution. Well, now you have new owners, you have a new publisher. You know, it's important for you. I know that. But when you look back,
you interviewed Amy Windsor a while ago. Can people find the interview you did with Amy on your website?
Oh yeah, it's on www.womenspaces.com. But you know, the thing that I want to ask you is, you know, I know there's some things that you felt you wanted to do different or maybe expand a little bit. Now that there's a whole new group of people owning and running the newspaper, what are some of the things that you hope to see? And then also, you know, time runs by so quickly when you're on the radio. Also, if there's a woman out there or another person out there who wants to go into publication or to be a writer, what are some of the suggestions you give to her? So part one is, what are some of the things you hope to see with the new publishers? What are some of the things you wish you could have done and maybe they could have done? And also, what kind of advice would you give anybody out there that's interested in becoming a writer or even a publisher?
Well, I think the important thing is when I'm in the market, I turned 70, and I had been planning it for 2.5 years. I had interviewed brokers to see if I could find someone who was a good broker and then sent him copies of the Gazette and so the person could understand what he was selling. And he found 6 interested parties, and it all narrowed down to one. The only interested party was that was in Sonoma County already and therefore could actually represent Sonoma County with Sonoma Media Investments. And Steve Falk appreciated what I had to offer, the huge circulation. I mean, it's number one in Sonoma County for circulation and distribution for a free publication. The huge audience, the fact that it was profitable, you know, we were making some good money. So we were 72 pages, full color, everywhere, successful publication. They would not have purchased it if it had not been successful. And for me, the biggest deal was I was getting exhausted, just exhausted. It was, it's hard to get older and your body starts freezing up. And sitting at the computer for 14, 16 hours a day, 10, 12 hours a day on the light loads, is really, really rough. And everything would depend upon how much money I could bring in. So if I didn't bring in enough money, I would hire less people. It's one of the reasons I always had independent contractors. Because everything depended upon in, I need to equal out, right? So, that was probably the biggest challenge for me was, the workload, really intense workload. And my concept was if I could not sell it by my 71st birthday, that I would simply stop because it was physically killing me. Now, I was very fortunate that in the fall of 2019, the Sonoma Media Investments started talking with my broker. And I met with Steve Falk, and he's very committed to Sonoma County, and he saw this as an excellent vehicle to fill a space that they did not have themselves.
You know, he was just honored by the Newspaper Association,
yes,
Steve Falk.
Publisher of the Year.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very impressed with him as a human being, and just in our conversations where he had the same commitment to Sonoma County, and he would literally well up with emotion when we talked about loving Sonoma County, loving local commerce, keeping this county strong, and then purchasing the communication vehicle that the Gazette could be, because it is just Sonoma County. It doesn't have to deal with international and national news like the Press Democrat has to do. So it's like kind of a perfect little match for a home. And he saw it that way, and he saw my passion, and he saw that it was financially viable. And that part where if it hadn't been for Steve Falk and his wisdom and his willing to commit to this, there would be no Gazette today, and there are 2 reasons for that. One is because I was committed to stopping on my 71st birthday, and the other is, right, March 16th, the world shut down, and so in 2020. So by then, they had already purchased the Gazette. We were moving along with, like, yay, we're on the other side of this, and I'm going to work for the Gazette. They're going to come up with a new publisher by May, June, and then COVID hit. And so when COVID hit, advertising dollars went down dramatically as businesses started plummeting, just not being able to do it. And so that would have put me out of business. I wouldn't have been able to sustain the Gazette without the sustaining of the advertising revenue that I had already established. So it would have been gone. So Sonoma Media Investments purchased it, saved it. And one of the things he had said, Steve Falk had said to me was, is it okay if I say I saved this publication from demise? And I said, absolutely, go right ahead. Because, yes, I would have stopped. If I had not sold it, I would have stopped. And therefore, Sonoma Media Investments saved the publication from demise. And then they saved it in another way, because with COVID coming along and reducing advertising dollars, I couldn't have sustained it, but they could, because they have the system there to sustain it financially. And then, of course, they had to wait a lot longer before they found and chose someone to take my place. So they had me working a lot longer than the original intention was, while they established new systems and all kinds of things like that. So finding the new publisher was also an interesting journey, and they wanted to find someone who was as community-oriented as I was and who has a lot of personality and energy, because my personality and energy and my love for community are a lot of why the Gazette is successful or has been successful. So in their search, they narrowed it down to two people, and one of those was a clear choice for both me and for two of my contractors, Jaylon Crow, who does the website, and Elizabeth Pedroza, who does the calendar, which the calendar is killer and takes a tremendous amount of effort. So these are my cohorts in business, and we were able to interview the final two candidates, and we went, it's really obvious that Amy Windsor is the one.
She has
the passion, she has the skill, she has the drive, and she has the love.
Well, you know, with that thought in mind, you know, because I know in doing the interview with Amy, talking about how she visualized her dream job and then how all these different things have come together and how excited she was and, you know, all the different paths that she's actually taken in her own career only to end up in the place finally where she really feels that this is her home, this is what she wants to do. So if there's a woman out there that's listening or anybody that's listening that would like to be a publisher or write for a newspaper or do some of the things that you've done, what advice would you give them? And then the last part of our interview is, of course, you know, curious minds want to know, what's the next step for you?
Well, first of all, let's talk about, you know, writing. Right? Just, I mean, nowadays with social media, you can write and you can get recognition, and people will want to actually pay attention to what you write. So there are many, many, many avenues for writing. I am currently reading two publications that are autobiographies. I finished the one, it's called Life on Two Levels, an autobiography by Josephine Whitney Dubinek. And the one I'm currently reading is called Restless, the memoirs of labor and consumer activist Esther Peterson. Amazing women who, during the last century, effected change on a massive level. And each one of them did the same thing that I did, that Amy did, which is to follow your passion. Just do the things that you're passionate about and be open to when an opportunity comes along. I mean, one of my favorite aspects of Amy becoming the publisher was that I got to know Troy Nade, who is the operations officer at Sonoma Media. He runs the printing presses and the distribution and all that stuff. He's operations. And I liked him as a human being. And he's on the board of directors of Social Advocates for Youth. Now, Amy had a job at Social Advocates for Youth in public relations and development. And he told her, he said, you should apply for this job because I think you'd be good at it. And so she had to have the courage to apply for it. Her background in journalism gave her the knowledge of how to deal with the land of news. How do you get the news from the community, about the community, out to the community? A journalist is a messenger. So when she applied for the job, it seems like that place where an opportunity comes along and someone says, oh, I'll take that opportunity. I couldn't possibly pass that up. And you start seeing how your gut will direct you into finding the path that is the one that is yours. And one of my favorite stories for me in the Gazette was many years ago, Ria Oleski, who is the astrologer columnist in the Gazette, said, Vesta, your feet aren't on your path yet. You'll know it when they are. And when I said yes to the Gazette, which was just like sure, I can do that in my sleep, I started getting into it, and all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I think this is what he means. My feet are on my path now. Because as a marketing professional, I'm promoting someone else's message. As a publisher, I became to be able to promote the message of the community to the community. So I became the messenger service.
Well,
that's spectacular.
Well, that is amazing. Well, we have come to the end of our segment, and I like just three words or one quick sentence on what is the next step for Vesta Kopsecht.
I don't know.
Well, you got the three words. I don't know. Yay!
It will come.
Just know that when all my dreams of retirement have been to be the artist, musician, writer I was when I was 15. And so I'm trying to become 15 again and be free and find out where that goes now. And we'll find out. You will find out. I will find out. But I know that my friendship with you will continue on. And there are so many friendships that I have established during the time with the Gazette of people I have literally fallen in love with. And I want to continue those friendships. And the big deal for me is now I have actual time to nurture friendships. And I'm very excited about that.
Do you have a quick... How do people get a hold of you real quickly?
Oh, Vesta@sonics.net, and it's the same email that I've always had, and I will have it till Sonic disappears or I die, one or the other. And so Vesta@sonics.net is really, really easy, and 707-887-0253 has been my telephone number for 30 years. And will continue to be. And I do have a Vesta Kopsecht Facebook page and a Vesta Publishing LLC Facebook page, which I'm starting to use for some of my writing, my op-eds on bigger issues than just Sonoma County. So
well,
I'm using that as a practice.
Well, Vesta Kopsecht, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces. You are definitely contributing to our wonderful community. Well, this is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 7th, 2020.